Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, and beyond. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
My name is Fatia. I'm 10 years old, and I'm also from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books you love, books you hate, and bookish things.
That's what we'll do today. I think we're going to share some poems today. We're going to share some poems and some books that we're eager to read, right?
Yes.
Sounds like a plan. Why don't we start off with your poem?
My poem is called A Happy Birthday. Just a little line or two. Just the best of wishes true. Just a word of cheerful thought. That your days with joy be fraught.
That was a quick one. I have a feeling I know why you picked that one.
For like two reasons.
What's reason number one?
Reason number one is that I love fall so much. I love when the leaves fall down the trees. It's pretty colorful. It's like spring, but like the leaves are orange and yellow.
Did that poem have stuff about the fall?
Yes.
It did. Did I miss it? It was so quick. What was reason number two?
Because my birthday is in fall.
I had a feeling that might be the reason you picked the poem, because I know you're excited about your birthday coming up. I found a fall poem as well that I can share. This is a really old, old poem. It's by Emily Dickinson, who was alive between 1830 and 1886 and lived just across the border in Massachusetts, in Amherst specifically. And this one is called Besides the Autumn Poets Sing. Besides the autumn poets sing, a few prosaic days, a little this side of the snow and that side of the haze, a few incisive mornings, a few ascetic eves, gone Mr. Bryant's goldenrod and Mr. Thompson's sheaves. Still is the bustle in the brook, sealed are the spicy valves. Mesmeric fingers softly touch the eyes of many elves. Perhaps a squirrel may remain, my sentiments to share. Grant me, O Lord, a sunny mind, thy windy will to bear. I really love how her poems rhyme. I'm not always into rhymey poems, but hers really do it for me for some reason. And I like how many poems that she wrote so long ago, and they still connect today, and they're still popular today. And so, Fatia, you mentioned you had a book that you were interested in reading that you had come across at school that you wanted to share.
The Graveyard Book by Nellie Guyman. And it is a story about a boy named Nobody Bod Owens. And after his family was brutally murdered, he escapes as a toddler and finds refuge in a nearby graveyard. The ghosts and supernatural beings in the graveyard adopt him and raise him as their own. Bod grows up learning the ways of dead, gaining unique abilities like becoming invisible and walking through walls. He befriends various graveyard inhabitants, including a guardian named Celeste and a witch named Lisa. Throughout his adventures, Bod faces numerous challenges, including encounters with ghouls and the ongoing threat from the man who killed his family. And it is a unique blend of fantasy and adventure.
Yeah, and you came across that in school and are
Yes.
thinking of reading it. Is it one that you would be reading as an assignment or just for fun?
Just for fun.
And what drew you to that book of all the books?
For that one book, well, today in class, when we were in the ELA class reading, one of my teacher asked us to go search for a specific book, and I just wanted to cut, and then I like on the website, and I just came across this one for like, cause one, because it's like a little, it seems a little bit scary, but I don't think it's scary. And I like reading scary books that like have no pictures, because if they have pictures, they might actually scare me. But if they're just words, they might scare me less.
Yeah, I think it's lightly scary. Like there's scary moments, but not it's not like not like horror movie scary, more like you're worried about like you care about the characters and you care about the outcome and you know there's a bad force at play in the book, so you're worried about what will happen. So maybe it's more concerning than scary. But I haven't read in a long time, so don't quote me on that. It might actually be scary. There are actually pictures in the book that are really beautiful, that are black and white illustrations that are really, I think, really add a lot to the book in terms of a feeling and a mood. But yeah, I read that many, many years ago, perhaps a decade ago or more, but really loved it at the time. So I think you will too. So definitely check that out. That's The Graveyard Book by Neil Gaiman. And I believe that it won an award. Did it win a Newbery Award?
I think it did.
I have a feeling it won some awards. So it won the Newbery Medal, which recognizes the year's best children's book, written children's book. It won the Hugo Award for Best Novel from the World Science Fiction Convention. And it won a Locus Award for Best Young Adult Book, just selected by Locus subscribers. It was a major award as well. But yeah, award-winning book, definitely worth checking out. And I believe that it is somewhat based on the Jungle Book. I feel like I remember reading that at some point. Or at least that was the idea, was to write a book similar to the Jungle Book, but set in a graveyard. Though I've never read the Jungle Book, so I may have read parts of it as a kid or had it read to me, but I don't really know the story. So hard for me to compare. But that's a good pick for this month with Halloween upon us shortly. But speaking of award-winning books, I wanted to share some books that I'm excited to read that have been shortlisted for the National Book Foundation's National Book Awards for Young People's Literature, which will be presented in November. And so they sometime, maybe it's in September, they release a long list. And then in October, they release the short list. And then they announce the awards in November. They also give awards for fiction, nonfiction, translated literature, poetry, as well as a Lifetime Achievement Award, but I'm just going to highlight some of the nominees for the Young People's Literature Award. And they all sound really great. I've not read any of them yet, but several of them are on my to-read list. So first up, I will share Buffalo Dreamer by Violet Duncan. And here is the description. Summer and her family always spend relaxed summers in Alberta, Canada, on the reservation where her mom's family lives. But this year is turning out to be an eye-opening one. First, Summer has begun to have vivid dreams in which she's running away from one of the many real-life residential schools that tore Native children from their families and tried to erase their Native identities. Not long after that, she learns that unmarked children's graves have been discovered at the school her grandpa attended as a child. Now, more folks are speaking up about their harrowing experiences at these places, including her grandfather. Summer cherishes her heritage and is heartbroken about all her grandfather was forced to give up and miss out on. When the town holds a rally, she's proud to take part to acknowledge the painful past and speak of her hopes for the future, and anxious to find someone who can fill her in on the source of her unsettling dreams. Again, that's Buffalo Dreamer by Violet Duncan, who is Plains Cree and Taino from Kaowin Cree Nation. And she's written some picture books in addition to this novel, including I Am Native, When We Dance, and Let's Hoop Dance. I'm excited to check this one out. It's not a picture book, but it has a beautiful cover, just worth saying. And the next one I'll highlight is one that I hadn't heard of before its National Book Award nomination. I'm excited to check that out and learn more about it. It's called The Great Cool Ranch Dorito in the Sky, and that's by Josh Galarza. And here's the description. Ever since cancer invaded his adoptive mother's life, Brett feels like he's losing everything, most of all, control. To cope, Brett fuels all of his anxieties into epic fantasies, including his intergalactic Kid Condor comic book series, which features food constellations and characters not unlike those in his own life. But lately, Brett's grip on reality has started to lose its hold. The fictions he's been telling himself about his unattractive body, the feeling that he's a burden to his best friend, that he's too messed up to be loved, have consumed him completely. And Brett will do anything to forget about the cosmic-sized hole in his chest, even if it's unhealthy. But when Brett's journal and deepest insecurities are posted online for the whole school to see, Brett realizes he can no longer avoid the painful truths of his real-life narrative. As his eating disorder escalates, Brett must be honest with the people closest to him, including his new and fierce friend, Mallory, who seems to know more about Brett's issues than he does. With their support, he just might find the courage to face the toughest reality of all. That sounds like a tough read, but important one. And I'm always excited to check out a new author, to me at least. I don't know if he has published other books. I have to look more into that, but this might just be a debut. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't found anything else that he's published before, so excited to check him out for the first time. And the next up is a book by an author who is not a debut author, who's written a lot of books that have had a lot of acclaim. And this book is called The First State of Being by Erin Entrada Kelly. And here's the description. It's August 1999. For 12-year-old Michael Rosario, life at Fox Run Apartments in Red Knot, Delaware is as ordinary as ever, except for the looming Y2K crisis and his overwhelming crush on his 15-year-old babysitter, Gibby. But when a disoriented teenage boy named Ridge appears out of nowhere, Michael discovers there is more to life than stockpiling supplies and pining over Gibby. It turns out that Ridge is carefree, confident, and bold, things Michael wishes he could be. Unlike Michael, however, Ridge isn't where he belongs. When Ridge reveals that he's the world's first time traveler, Michael and Gibby are stunned but curious. As Ridge immerses himself in 1999, fascinated by microwaves, basketballs, and malls, Michael discovers that his new friend has a book that outlines the events of the next 20 years. And his curiosity morphs into something else, focused determination. Michael wants, no needs, to get his hands on that book. How else can he prepare for the future? But how far is he willing to go to get it? It's an interesting concept. I feel like there are other stories that have similar ideas of, like, what if you could know the future? Like, would you want to know what happens? And how would that impact your life? I think it's always an interesting concept to explore. So then next up is one that I have mentioned on the show before as one that I was excited to read, which is called Kareem Between by Shifa Saltagi Safadi. And she has also written several picture books, including The Gift of Eid. And this is a novel in verse. And even though I mentioned it on a recent show, I'll share the description for those listeners that haven't heard it before or need a refresher. So, Kareem Between. Seventh grade begins, and Kareem's already fumbled it. His best friend moved away. He messed up his tryout for the football team. And because of his heritage, he was voluntold to show the new kid, a Syrian refugee with a thick and embarrassing accent, around school. Just when Kareem thinks his middle school life has imploded, the hotshot quarterback promises to get Kareem another tryout for the squad. There's a catch. To secure that chance, Kareem must do something he knows is wrong. Then, like a surprise blitz, Kareem's mom returns to Syria to help her family, but can't make it back home. If Kareem could throw a penalty flag on the fouls of his school and home life, it would be for unnecessary roughness. Kareem is stuck between between countries, between friends, between football, between parents, and between right and wrong. It's up to him to step up, find his confidence, and navigate the beauty and hope found somewhere in the middle.
That sounds like a good book.
Yeah, I'm really excited for that one. I don't think it's come in for me yet, but I have it on hold. I'm excited to read that one, and I'll probably listen to it too, because I like listening to novels in verse. And so the last one that I want to share also involves poetry. It's a collection of vignettes in poetry, and it's called The Unboxing of a Black Girl. It's by Angela Shante, who is a former teacher who started her writing career as a poet and spoken word artist. And here's the description. Written as a collection of vignettes and poetry, The Unboxing of a Black Girl is a creative nonfiction reflection on Black girlhood. The debut YA title is a love letter to Black girls set in New York City and serves as a personal and political critique of how the world raises Black girls. As Shantae navigates the city through memory, she balances poetry with vignettes that explore the innocence and joy of childhood eroded by adultification. Through this book, she illuminates the places where Black girls are nurtured or exploited in stories and poems about personal and political boxes, love, loss, and sexual assault. So that one, I believe all of the other books are written for a middle grade audience. The only one I'm not sure about is the Dorito in the Sky one. I'd have to look up what age group that one suggested for, but Unboxing of a Black Girl is written for a young adult audience and the others were middle grade novels. And I realize I should probably, I actually have this book currently checked out as an audiobook. I haven't started it quite yet, but I'm planning to, but I realized that it might have a visual component to it as well. So I'll have to check that out and see if I'm missing anything in the print edition or not. Sounds very interesting. But yeah, so those are the National Book Award finalists for young people's literature. Excited to check them out. I'm also going to check out some of the adult nominees as well, especially some of the fiction titles and poetry. I might check out the nonfiction too, but I usually save nonfiction for my nonfiction book group. So those are the books I wanted to highlight today. Again, the winners of the National Book Award will be announced in November, but you can check out all of the nominees in the meantime. There's also a long list, which includes a lot of really great sounding books. I love these award lists for getting ideas for new reads. But before we go for the day, I just wanted to remind our listeners that the Ghostly Gallop is coming up. It's our annual 5K race and kids fun run. You can find out more information at hudsonarealibrary.org. And yeah, it's a really fun day. A lot of people run in costume. The kids' 1 mile fun run is always a cute event. We have a costume contest. It's great fun. It's going to be Sunday, October 27th. The costume contest kicks off at 9:30, and then the races start at 10 and 10:30. Kids' fun run is first. And yeah. Check it out. I hope we have some good weather this year. It was really rainy last year, but we've had a lot of years where it's beautiful and sunny. 1 year it snowed the day before. We almost canceled it, but we didn't have to because the roads were cleared. That was definitely a lower attendance year, the snow year. But last year it was pouring rain and it was our biggest attendance yet. So we're hoping for sun and not too cold. Although you can always warm up with your run. And we also are always looking for volunteers for the event. So if running isn't your thing, but you want to come out for a fun event and have something to do during the event, you can sign up to volunteer. If you're interested, feel free to reach out to me at info@hudsonarealibrary.org. And you can also just cheer on the runners as you see them run by. It's a tough run. So you can use all the cheering they can get. Encourage them on to the finish line. But anyways, we're going to head out for the day, but we hope everyone out there listening has a great week filled with lots of quality reading time, and we'll be back next week to talk about some more books. Until then,
happy reading.